Real College Podcast is presented by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and is a production of Radio K.
You're listening to Real College Podcast, and I'm your host, Alex Schumacher. Right now, millions of students are getting right back into the swing of things at school. And, well, since college is right there in our name, we thought we'd give you some advice on how to survive this harrowing, crazy, exciting, exhilarating experience that is the 3 to 4 to 5 years you may spend at college. Cooking, apartments, sports, and more, all here on Real College Podcast. First semester of freshman year is, well, it's a lot. You're often surrounded by new people and new places and new groups and activities, and all these different things want your attention. It can be hard to know what to do. Well, this week we sent out new reporters Miranda and Tosin to go talk to fellow students and get some advice about how to get through freshman year of college.
Now, what is the best advice you have for incoming freshmen?
The best advice I've received so far is really to just let yourself enjoy your freshman year, not just like killing yourself to do homework.
It's not high school, so you can't not study or get away with studying an hour a day. Here you pay a lot of money, take it seriously and work hard and you'll have fun.
Don't go crazy and party everything away. Have a balance of like caring enough about school and letting yourself be happy.
What advice would you give to an incoming freshman?
Make a lot of time for studying. Start on a good foot, and I'd say know your schedule.
Being in school, having to do the academics part of college can be really stressful. So remembering to take time for yourself, to take care of yourself, and to have fun is very important.
I'd say portion out your time, but make sure you have time to study. And if you're hanging out with friends and such, just balance everything.
I think the best advice is join clubs because you can find people that have the same interests as you and make friends.
Sleep more than you study. Study more than you go out, but go out as much as you can.
Get a lot of sleep.
Don't be afraid to talk to people in your classes.
From Real College Podcast, this is Tosin Fasima.
It's Miranda Shapiro.
Oftentimes, freshman year also means living on your own for the first time, and usually this means in the dorms. And with dorm living comes dorm food and dorm cooking. And when you imagine dorm cooking, you're probably not thinking of fancy gourmet meals. Well, here on Real College Podcast, we specialize in not fancy, not gourmet meals, but meals very suited for the college student and everybody. So without further ado, here's Cooking with Hannah to give you some advice on college cooking.
Moving from the loving care of your family home into the cold embrace of dorm living can be quite jarring in unexpected ways. In the stressful cloud that is the life of a student, food is all too often thrust aside, its priority overtaken instead by calculus homework or something of the sort. Stories like this are all too common.
Yo, I ate peanut butter and jelly tortillas for 6 months straight. My roommates made fun of me every day. I still eat them a lot.
I personally found myself eating small portions of unseasoned rice and beans 5 days a week until I realized how sad it made my daily life and sought out some new recipes. Today on Real College Podcast, we're taking the time to focus on the importance of food and provide some helpful tips and easy recipes for all you stressed out students out there. It's RCP's Dorm Room Delights, and now your culinary expert, Hannah Dove.
So, we have five lovely... I just straight up burped in the mic. Oh, we have a fun selection of recipes for y'all, folks. Such recipes include banana crepes with only 3 ingredients. In fact, all of our recipes only have 3 ingredients for the modern man.
Salt tends to be good on things.
Pro tip, shop at Aldi.
We're here outside of Aldi right now. It's
not
a very special day.
By the way, it's absolutely not sponsored. We just, we're here to mimic the natural habitat of the broke college kid. BuzzFeed, please don't sue us.
And we're about to go shopping. So
we're about to go shopping.
Let's get in there.
Do we have a budget? Normally, I try to keep things under $20. How's that?
Yeah, I think under $20 is a good range.
Get a cart.
Yeah, we should get a cart.
We should.
Put the quarter in.
After much deliberation, we selected three-ingredient recipes: banana egg crepes, mozzarella sticks, and tortilla pizza.
That's organic.
Here's the necessary grocery list: bananas, eggs, egg wraps, cheese sticks, marinara sauce, tortillas, and mozzarella cheese.
We just shredded. Finished our Aldi run.
Aldi?
What is everybody most excited for? Which dish?
I am excited for, I've been like, people have been hyping up those banana egg crepes, the two ingredient things. And honestly, if it works and it tastes good, I'd be more than willing to buy bananas because I think like my body needs potassium because it's like starting to cramp.
Yeah. But yeah, let's head to the kitchen and get to cooking, baby.
Cooking is a good thing to know. You can't just rely on everyone forever, and you can't just eat microwave mac and cheese no matter how hard you try. A lot of these will unfortunately be cooked on a stovetop. You may as well try it in a microwave, I suggest not, but then again, my boyfriend has survived 18 years on a microwave and he hasn't died yet.
Recipe number one, the banana crepe.
The instructions include mash up bananas in a large bowl, whisk eggs using a fork, and add to banana paste. Fry in a pan with a little heated oil or butter. Prep time 3 minutes, cook time 7 minutes. There's butter on the back of my phone. Why is that butter?
Some banana mashing ASMR.
Such a
really two eggs per banana?
Yeah.
It seems like so much egg to banana ratio. Because that's two bananas.
That's two bananas?
Yeah.
So you need four eggs.
That seems like a lot of eggs.
That was fantastic sound.
That was nice.
Oh, without the bag.
Right, let's pour it on.
Yeah, put that. All right, we need a. It kind of just looks like scrambled eggs.
should we try it now, or should we?
Here we go. Yeah, this is our first banana crepe, banana egg. What do you think, guys?
It's really banana-y.
It definitely has some sweet banana flavor.
I think the sugar was a good shot.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Considering it's literally just bananas and eggs, it's a
and
lot
a little bit of sugar. Yeah. And literally, you can steal sugar from the dining hall. Mm-hmm. So.
Steal bananas from the dining hall, too.
You can steal bananas from Target.
If you're on expert mode, if you're taking this on expert mode.
Who the heck has.
What college student can afford
cinnamon?
That's hidden behind so many paywalls.
You know how much a banana is at the local Target?
29 cents.
Per each.
Per each.
There's a mozzarella stick.
Yeah, let's do the mozzarella
sticks. They'll be easy and nice.
Yeah.
Recipe two.
We spent far too much
mozzarella stick.
Not much has changed, but they live underwater.
Great granddaughter is pretty fine.
One fourth of the egg mixture in approximately 8-inch circle. Are we summoning Satan, or are we trying to make egg rolls?
After successfully making your mozzarella egg roll wrappers, place a mozzarella stick in the corner of one egg roll wrapper. Begin rolling from the bottom. Afterwards, fold the corners of the egg roll wrapper in and continue rolling the wrapper. If desired, have some Italian seasoning on the abominations over here. That look really good. They just don't look anything. Okay, you know when you buy things online and they don't look anything like the photo, but it still looks good? That's what that is.
One of them we put egg on, as was recommended, and it is looking just golden and beautiful. And then we got some just gorgeous red marinara sauce off to the side.
Let's dig in and see how it tastes.
Got a hefty lump of marinara. Oh!
That baby good.
Oh! The cheese!
It's so shaved. That's nice.
Marinara is a saver.
It does, without the sauce, it just kind of tastes like the color white.
I hope y'all know this is not
recipe
lactose
number three. Tortilla pizza.
This is not lactose friendly radio.
The pizza quesadilla.
Yeah.
It's basically making a pizza but using a tortilla as a base instead. Very easy to make. Yeah. Yeah. So I think I'm gonna be honest, I've actually made this very many times before after coming in from a night out in first year.
Here they come. And they are looking just beautiful. Wow, can you give us a quick visual of what we're looking at?
So what we have is a base of a tortilla. Then we spread some high quality marinara sauce, some imported mozzarella.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh from Europe, all baked in an oven to perfection.
They're looking fabulous. I can't see these going bad in any way once we begin eating them.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
That might be
hot.
Look at that cheese just peel.
That was horrifying.
I love it. I done burned my tongue. The hubris of man.
It has
a slight barnyard aftertaste. You know when you enter...
Stunning review from Anna.
You know, when you enter into like a barn, you can taste it. That's what it is.
I think that's unfair. I think this is delicious. And you're giving it a bad rep. Summing up, which do we think is the best out of the three that we made?
The pizza, for sure.
100%
that was the
pizza,
most coherent of three. It is pretty easy to not spend $1 million on food if you know what ingredients to grab, like eggs. Eggs are like an everything.
So versatile.
Eggs are one of the most versatile things. And if you have a lot of basic ingredients, eggs, flour, sugar, grease, oil, it should at some point get to a climax in which you're like, wow, I actually made something I appreciate and it's good, congratulations, and then you eat that for the rest of your natural born life.
This has been Dorm Room Delights with RCP. Thanks for listening. Now one last tip. Hannah before we go.
But second most common population with scurvy, college kids. So eat your greens, get your citrus so you don't bring back scurvy. Oh.
At least here at the University of Minnesota, after spending a year in the dorms, most people have to go out and find their own apartment to live in. And this is exciting, looking for your first place on your own. But it's also terrifying and nerve-wracking and so completely new. You don't even know where to begin. And with all this newness comes, very often, horror stories. Whether it be a bad landlord, a bad place, a bad roommate, almost no one leaves college unscathed. Liv Riggins has more.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell.
Thousands of U of M students are moving into their first apartment this fall. Your first apartment comes with a lot of possible challenges, like finding a good place, keeping the paperwork straight, finding good roommates, or even just making sure that the building is sound. I talked with U of M students Brandon, Hannah, and Ben, who have all had some wild experiences, maybe even apartment horror stories, in their first apartments.
So back at the beginning of this year of 2018, back in like January or February, I was a freshman at the U, and I didn't really have anyone that I could really tag along with rooming for the next school year. So I really had to find like my own place to live at with random roommates. So I started looking at university-owned apartments like Grand Mark and University Commons, and I just started applying everywhere I could. And then eventually I got accepted by Grand Mark, and I signed a lease with them in around April. And then a couple months later, in May, when I was about to head to study abroad, I got another email from the university saying, oh, hey, we need you to sign this lease with us. And I'm like, but wait, I already signed a lease with Grand Mark. Is this like the same thing? So I thought that maybe it was just something separate that they needed for it. So I signed that too, and I was like, okay. And then a couple weeks later, much to my horror, I found out that it was a completely separate lease with University Commons. So now I had two different leases on my hands that I had to take care of, and finding someone to take your spot at an apartment just sucks, because I didn't want to take my spot at University Commons. It's expensive as hell, and really just and just like the hassle of just like communicating with them, just the fact that they didn't communicate that between each other, and the fact that it was like, oh, I already signed this lease with Grand Mark, but then University of Commons was like, oh, but we're gonna send them this too, and even though we're owned by the same company, we don't communicate that with each other. So it was just a big pain, and honestly, just advice I would have to anyone like who's just rushing to find an apartment is just be mindful of what you sign.
But I just remember that 19th birthday, I was DJing midnight to 3 as I normally do. But I come home, 3 a.m. No, it's not even 3 a.m., it's like 4 a.m. All the lights are on, shoes everywhere, backpacks everywhere, a bottle of Chardonnay on the floor. I'm very tired at this point, so I go up, I climb up into my bed, and I turn off the lights and I go to sleep. 5, 6 a.m., I hear voices, and it sounds like 10 to 20 people just grabbing their things, and I'm like, okay, fine. The next day, I get a text. I'm sorry, my friend took your shoes. And it's like, just the fact that I come home and I wake up the next day with no shoes is just wild to me. I also remember that we had a magnet on our shared microwave that was like, the only boy I need is my daddy. And every time I'd heat up my beans, I ate a lot of beans at this point, mostly because I had nothing else in my fridge. I'd just see it and I'd just be reminded that the only boy I do need is my daddy. But she left without saying goodbye.
Sophomore year. It was my first time ever moving into an apartment, all on my own, as I think it is the case for a lot of people when they move into their apartment the first time they move off the dorms, move off campus. And the first thing that surprised me was just the sheer number of things that we just didn't notice when we were touring the apartment. We toured the apartment twice. We didn't notice that half of the windows were just covered in the main room because of an addition the landlord had built on a couple of years ago. Every single wall had holes in it, and the baseboard were covered with holes that mice use to travel around and, you know, do whatever they do. And it's not their fault. We kept being like, hey, sink's broken. He'd be like, okay. And they'd be like, all right. So the sink was just broken the whole time we lived there, which is something that was like kind of crazy now, because I live in an apartment now where the sink's like not broken. And I'm just like, wow. Every time I turn on the sink, I'm like, wow. The bathroom, the shower pressure would just change all the time, all the way from like a trickle towards like really, really hard. And like, but usually it was a trickle. And sometimes when you turned on the shower, after a little while, it would just start shaking. The walls of the bathroom would just shudder and shake like it's an earthquake, and you're just taking a shower, and that would be like a, I'm not sure what that was like a sign of or what that meant was going on with the shower. And the wiring was all outside the walls. There was no wiring in the walls. It was all just running like cords and stuff like along the walls of the building that were carrying the power to everywhere in the facility, presumably so we didn't have to hire an electrician, which was just another thing where we would just always think, like, how did we not notice this when we toured the apartment? But we didn't, because it was our first time touring an apartment. We were just like, wow, this is a building. Wow. So you're saying there's no CA. I don't have to pay for a meal plan. Okay. And then we were like, all right, that seems great, you know? And it wasn't. But yeah, I think that's just something that kind of can happen when it's your first place, kind of moving into it on your own. You just kind of
walk with me, Susie Lee, through the park. For Radio K's Real College Podcast, I'm Liv Riggins.
Finally, after you're done studying, eating, just living and cooking, you're probably gonna want something to do for fun. Maybe you like going to see plays or concerts or sports. And if you like sports, hey, college is the perfect place. There's so much to do. And with so much to do and see, it's hard to know where to begin. Lucky for you and for me, Radio K's sports reporters Grant and Trask are here to let U of M students know how they can get the most out of college sports.
Hey, I'm Trask Angel.
And this is Grant Sandberg.
And for this episode of the RCP podcast, we want to talk about Gopher sports and the culture that surrounds Gopher sports here at the University of Minnesota. So in the next 5 minutes or so, we're going to explain the how, what, and why of Gopher athletics here at the Twin Cities campus.
Yep, and to start off, I know this is kind of a getting used to University of Minnesota episode, and so pretty much how to get involved with the sports teams. So if you're a big football fan, I believe that would be joining the Rooter Club, if I'm not mistaken, Tress.
You are correct.
And so there, you can either go on their website and try to get involved there, or even just go try to get to a football game a little early. There are the people right in front, couple rows, go down. They'll probably have their gopheralls on. And just talk to them. They're normal people. And then you'll be able to get in contact with them and in future years move up. And so not only could you have a position as a board member, but you could also have like premier seating and help lead the chants. And that is similar for basketball and hockey. For basketball, it's the Barnyard is the name of the student group there, because the arena, Williams Arena, is known as the Barn. And so people dress up as cows, chickens, the works. And same thing there. I know someone who was in that, and he was really friendly, easy to talk to. You just go up to him before the game, halftime, anything like that. They'll be able to get you organized with how to get in the club and everything, stuff like that. And then hockey, same sort of thing. I believe that's going to be the Icebox. Those games are really fun to go to. It's a great atmosphere at college hockey. Wouldn't you agree, Trask?
It's awesome. Hockey is a lot of fun to be at.
Yeah, especially since, as Minnesota sports go, usually we're better at hockey than we are at other sports. So it's good to see the hockey team do well. And then, obviously, again, usually at the hockey games, actually, they'll have people at the top of the aisles kind of have a booth. They have a booth set up. You can give your name, email address, stuff like that, and they'll let you know with everything. And the hockey is actually really elaborate. They give out handouts with chants to do and everything. I think basketball does that somewhat as well. Obviously, football, there's just too many people. But it's really neat, all the elaborate chants they have going. You could try to help create some of those. And it's definitely the team is very interconnected with the fan clubs. And if you want to kind of get in that, in the loop, in the circle of trust, that's the way to go.
Right, and so now we're going to move on and talk about, if you don't want to necessarily be part of those student fan clubs, you're still welcome to be at the games, be in the student section. So how do you get to the games? The University of Minnesota moved to an online ticket system this year for students. You can just pull it right up on your phone, buy tickets there, and when you walk in, you show your phone to display your ticket. The only sports you're going to have to pay for here at the university, football, men's basketball, and men's hockey. Every other sport all year, you're going to show your U card, and that's going to get you into the game for free. So there's no reason why you can't get out and go to games. You're going to check online for the schedules, and then you can also download that schedule right onto your phone, so you're getting alerts when those games pop up. And there's also a Gopher Sports app that you can download, and that will give you all the lists of games and events and pregame, postgame activities that are going on for students to attend. So you can get to the game early, get your spot, and be right there in the middle of the action.
Yeah, and on that, on the Gopher Sports website, something that I've put my email address into, which is really helpful, it gives you student updates. So even if it's a sport, I don't know, wrestling, that you're not that interested in, but, you know, it would be fun to go to an event for the first time. They'll a lot of the times have deals where it's, you know, first 100 students get free pizza or get a free t-shirt, stuff like that. So it's neat to look out for those. Maybe grab some of your friends on a Thursday night or whatever, do that, which is also nice. And then baseball games are great to go to. I know Trask and I went to a decent amount of the baseball games. They were really good last year. Anything else you want to say about the other teams or how to get involved really there?
Just want to mention quickly that the intramural program at the University of Minnesota is a great way to actually participate in sports that you're watching, along with club teams and rec leagues that are available through the University of Minnesota. So you can continue to participate in sports yourself if you don't want to just watch.
Yeah, the intramural sports are really fun. We played in a flag football team last year, and even during the winter we were able to play at TCF Bank Stadium, just our normal games. It was a great experience, a lot of fun. And everyone there, obviously, you want to win, but it's nice, just a relaxed environment, everyone having fun and so forth. So if you want to get into the clubs, get there early, talk with people up front. If you just want to enjoy the games, you can buy season tickets on your phone. Scan your phone right in and boom, you're set. And otherwise, I think that's it for our part here on RCP.
Go Gophers, Sky Yuma.
Well, that's all this week for Real College Podcast. Big thanks to Tosin, Miranda, Hannah, Murray, Nathan, Ben, Liv, Grant, and Trask for all their hard work on this episode. Real College Podcast is a production of Radio K. It is produced by Liv Riggins, Ben Hallam, Nathan Fervoy, and Lizzie Ritchie. Me, Alex Schumacher, is the host and managing editor of RCP. All episodes of Real College Podcast can be found at radiok.org or on Apple Podcasts, where you should definitely leave us a review if you enjoy the show. We appreciate it very much, and it helps others find the show. Thanks for listening, and talk to you next week. We'll be right back.